Hello and welcome to another episode of Blue Alpine TV. In today's episode, we will talk about what the European Central Bank is saying about cryptocurrency regulations. We'll talk about proof of stake and when it exactly comes to the Ethereum network. And we'll talk about the richest people in cryptocurrency. Let's jump right into the market. The market quite green today, not as green as yesterday actually. We are looking at 5 to 10% gains all over, some more, some less. But generally the volume is quite healthy. So from now on, I actually want to jump into GDAX and TradingView here as well and look really into the volume here. If we zoom out a bit, we can actually see this has been the biggest volume in the last couple of days. So this is a really good sign. So since more or less 2018, this has been the highest buy orders, buy candles. We're seeing a lot of green here, small correction. So it's kind of slowly retesting its way to the top. So that's quite positive. Now, if we jump to the first news story, as you know, we've talked about what the US is saying about cryptocurrency regulations. We talked about what China, South Korea is saying. Now there is a statement from the European Central Bank. So the chair of the supervisory board, Danielle Noy, has said that she had no clue whether new regulatory moves on crypto would come from Europe in the future. Involvement of ECB, so European Central Bank, regulated banks in the sphere was very, very low. We scrutinize the issue in a regulatory perspective. We are ready to do something if it was needed, but so far it is not exactly very high on our to-do list, she told the network. So basically what this means is that the eyes are currently more on the big players. So the European Central Bank, and we've heard these cries from Germany, from France, from Portugal in the last couple of weeks, where they actually were crying and looking for regulations in this market. On one side to tax it, on the other side to actually have some kind of control over it. But now they're kind of stepping back a bit and waiting actually maybe for the US to make a big decision here, maybe for Asian countries to make a bigger decision here. And depending on that, they will make their move. So I think it's very similar to actually what Singapore said yesterday, saying that as long as the banks are not too exposed to cryptocurrencies, it's not really a problem and not really high up on their list. However, if there are any kinds of scams and Ponzi schemes going on, this can become quite a problem. Now, in the ECB's case, it is kind of to be expected that they are waiting for maybe even the US to see what exactly will happen there. And like I said, in the last couple of days, so one country after the other, every day there is a new story coming up. And we've gone from very bad, basically banning cryptocurrency, to, yeah, we'll look into it, to actually it's not really on our radar. So, and you can, it's funny, you can actually see this, these conversations going in the cryptocurrency chart. So if we, let's say in the beginning of February, we had all these, and the end of January, we had all these bad news. Now we're slowly, after this CFTC hearing and SEC hearing, we actually have had some confirmation that not all is bad. The market slowly starts to go up. So this is to be expected. People are generally, the market reacts very emotionally to news. And since this is not really bad news, it's more neutral news, it goes kind of sideways. So this is to be expected here. I think we still have to keep an eye on Europe and what Europe will do, especially considering that the US is very strict in terms of banks and credit cards, which have been banned to actually buy cryptocurrencies. So some companies or people are actually looking to Europe and what will Europe do in this case. So I think we'll have to observe this and keep this in mind in our next steps. Now, our next news story is actually a bit of an info story. It is about proof of stake. As you know, when you want to mine Bitcoin, what you use is some kind of algorithm that's called a proof of work. In proof of work, you're actually using hardware and physical computers to mine Bitcoin, and you will get rewarded in terms of Bitcoin, in terms of blocks of Bitcoin, when you calculate certain difficult calculations. So if you use your computer power to solve cryptographic problems, you will get rewarded with Bitcoin. This is in general how proof of work works. Now, the problem here, of course, is as Bitcoin's price has increased extremely, there was a lot of demand for Bitcoin mining rigs and Bitcoin mining centers. And the mining of Bitcoin is actually consuming a lot of energy. So what does it say here? Use as much energy as the nation of Denmark. So currently, the proof of work algorithm is extremely not resource intensive. So it uses a lot of energy. And if this continues, this will be a real big problem. So proof of work can be a problem. What the article talks about here is also that Ethereum is currently also on proof of work, but what they're thinking about and actually developing currently is proof of stake. Now, proof of stake, and in Ethereum's case, this is called Casper to upgrade Ethereum. And it promises to be a game changer. Instead of powerful miners verifying transactions on the network, users will be able to stake their Ether. So you kind of imagine four parties and kind of a rectangle, and all four parties are staking their Ether to confirm certain transactions. If the stakers act honestly, confirming legitimate transactions, they will be rewarded with interest proportional to their stake. So if I'm staking two Ethers and you guys are staking one Ether, I will proportionally get a bit more because I've staked more Ether as well. If the stakers act maliciously and try to cheat the system, their stake will be lost. So this is all done digitally, so there is no hardware mining involved in this, and proof of stake obviously is less resource intensive. However, there will be some implications. So currently the cap on the number of Ether is not created, so you can still create Ethers as the network grows. However, with proof of stake, it will cap the total number of Ethereum available. So it also says with Casper, stakers will be rewarded from transaction fees generated, and a fixed amount of Ether will mean no inflation. And it also says here, combined with the increased demand Casper will generate to stake, a fixed amount of Ether is required. We can surely expect an increase in price as users buy up and lock away Ethereum in stake. So that will probably mean in order to stake and in order to participate in the staking process, there are rumors currently that you have to have 1,500 Ethereum to participate. Now, this is only on the testnet, which is currently running with this Casper. And as soon as this moves to the mainnet, it is very likely that this will be reduced. I think down the road, this is definitely an interesting development. I think we'll have to keep an eye on this, how successful Casper will be, what changes the Lightning Network will bring, for example, to Bitcoin. All of these things we'll have to keep in mind when doing those investments. But knowing that a lot of smart people are working behind Ethereum, and Ethereum is actually a platform play because it is the base of a lot of cryptocurrencies, I think Ethereum is an interesting cryptocurrency or blockchain project to look at. So keep this in mind when you're doing an investment thesis and investing based on platforms. Now, last news story of the day. The richest people in cryptocurrencies. Forbes, there is this famous Forbes list of the wealthiest people in the world, and Forbes obviously had to do a list of crypto people as well. So what we see here is we're presenting our first ever list of the richest people in cryptocurrency in net worth estimates and ranges. Now, obviously, this will have some limitations. So this will be pre-tax. It will be based on a price on a certain date. And this is only an estimate. So you don't really know who has how many stakes and assets in there. So very interesting names in here. We have Zhangpeng Zhao, who is the CEO of Binance. We have Cameron and Tyler Winklevoss, who are on, also the co-founders of Gemini, and also, one of the first Bitcoin millionaires. We have Brian Armstrong. He's the CEO of Coinbase, CEO and creator. Michael Novogratz, ex-hedge fund manager, and now big into crypto. And obviously, Vitalik Buterin, who is the creator of Ethereum, and a lot of very interesting people, obviously. And I think this actually shows the reason why I'm mentioning this. This actually shows that crypto is slowly but surely becoming mainstream. So a lot of people have heard of Bitcoin. You kind of know slowly but surely what it exactly means. And this is, I think, a very good sign. This brings, because as we've always talked about here, the goal is to bring the big masses to cryptocurrency, to blockchain projects, to really strengthen the ecosystem. We have to get more people into the system in order to use these technologies to really spread the word and spread the usage, more importantly. Stuff like this is needed. Obviously, this is a bit of a media play here, but I think this is needed because, yeah, some people will be attracted by the price action. But the more you read about crypto, the more you meet different people and all of these things, you get interested in the technology as well. And I think this is super important. So connecting this, for example, to this game story that we've had a couple of days ago with the CryptoKitties, this is exactly what is needed to get more people into crypto. And then actually it is our job to educate those people and then let them do their investment decisions and supporting decisions of different projects in cryptocurrencies. And with that, we are already at the end of today's show. Make sure to like this video, subscribe to the channel, and let people know that this channel exists, because it really helps to spread the message. And with that, I will see you tomorrow in the next one.